Have you been blessed so far, church family? Are you full? Can you receive more blessing from the Lord? All right. Bow your heads with me, please, then. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you now, not to hear the words of a human, but to hear the words of truth and the words of grace. So, Lord, speak to each and every heart that is listening. And, Lord, if we've built up walls around that heart, then just break through today. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, May is here. And May brings more than flowers. It brings more than storms. May also brings graduations. It is the end of the school year. And May, it was always an exciting time for me growing up because I was always looking forward to summer and the fun that was about to commence when the last day of school happened. But as you get older in your scholastic career, May becomes a bit of a scary month, too, because May morphs into the month of resumes and interviews and job hunting. College graduates, many are graduating this weekend in particular, they are searching for that dream job that they can have. All you young people out there, I'm sure you've thought about, what's my dream job going to be someday? And you've probably been asked time and time again that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, recently there was a company that put out an ad. They were looking for someone for a very important position. So they did some interviews, and we have some video footage of these interviews that they did and of some of these online Skype interviews. And so I'd like to invite you to watch with me and see if this is a job that you would like to apply for. Let's see some of these interviews this morning. If you'd watch.
Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry. Uh-huh. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that.
Hey,
how are you?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moms. That's awesome.
Oh! Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Can we say amen? Amen? Amen. I want to thank our communications department for putting that together and finding that. I don't think I could say it any better myself. But as you saw and heard about the job of a mom, it is unlike any other. This morning, I'd like us to look in the Bible, and I want us to discover an amazing lady, and let's see what all of us can learn from her, whether we're moms or not. And let's see this morning if we can discover a mom's superpower. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And for those of you who are looking for jobs, I think you can apply for that one. But I'm grateful that many of you have already accepted that position. In 1 Samuel, we begin this story with a man named Elkanah. And he's introduced first, but he's not the main character in the story there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. The story goes on and tells us that this man had two wives, one being Hannah and the other Peninnah. Now you might say, wait a second, now why does he have two wives? Well, the Bible alludes to that. If you'll look with me in verse 2, and he had two wives, the name of one was Hannah and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Why does he have two wives? Well, if you'll notice, Hannah is listed first. So most likely, she was the first wife that he married. But then the story goes on to tell us that he was barren. And so that means that he probably, because children were of such great value at this time, that's probably why he took a second wife. And that's probably why he married Peninnah after learning that Hannah was barren. Now, in the story that we find here, Hannah, her name actually means grace. The name Hannah means favor. And yet, we have a contrast because though her name means grace and favor, she has no children. She hasn't been graced with children from the Lord. And having children back then was huge. It was all-encompassing for a family. But as we begin this story, I want you to think about who is the heroine of the story. Is it Hannah or is it Peninnah? Which wife is the heroine? Is it the one who gave birth to children or the one who was barren? If you look with me in verse 5, it tells us that Elkanah loved Hannah even though she could give him no children. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 6 even drops Peninnah's name. We don't even get it mentioned anymore. She's just called Hannah's rival at this point in time. So who's the heroine? Well, friends, sadly, then and now, just having children does not make someone great. And not having children does not mean that someone's rejected. By no means. Peninnah had children, but she's not the heroine of this story. We don't really know if she had a mom's superpower. We have to look at Hannah this morning to discover what is a mom's superpower. So you follow me down in the story to verse 10. As they've gone up to worship, in verse 10 says, "And Hannah was in bitterness of soul, prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish." Can you feel Hannah's bitterness of soul, it says, the weeping, the agony that she's going through? Most likely blaming herself for why her husband had to marry a second wife. And then that bitterness grows when she sees the second wife able to bear children, and she cannot. Can you sense what this woman is going through? The bitterness of soul. Many of you may know, but not all of you may know, that Jeanette, my wife, and I struggled to have children years ago. And we were thrilled when Ethan finally came along, and we praised God. But we just, try as we could not get pregnant again. And those years of trying to have a baby were bitter. So Hannah's story resounds in us. It was in those years, it seemed like at our church in Kansas City, it seemed like all of our friends were also getting pregnant. We just had a baby explosion that year in Kansas City. And though we had multiple pastors on staff, it seemed like I was the one who was always asked to do the baby dedications. And through the years, you do a lot of hard things in ministry, and I haven't made a top 10 list of all the hardest things I've done. But I think if I did, this would be right up there. To stand there holding a good friend's baby in my arms, trying not to look at my wife, and to thank God for the blessing that children are, when all the time wondering, all the time questioning God, what about us? I mean, it was hard just to even go to the store or go to the mall, because it seemed like everywhere we went, there was another wonderful lady with a baby bump. Everywhere we went. We see in this story Hannah's heartbreak, and I hope you can feel it. And that heartbreak causes her to pour out her pain to God. So Hannah gives us an example of what to do when we are in pain. When we are struggling, when we don't understand, Hannah shows us, take your pain to the Lord. Look with me in verse 11. Then Hannah made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." She prays for a son, and she promises to give him to the Lord. After conversing with Eli the priest, Hannah leaves, and I want you to watch what happens. As she's leaving this experience of worshiping, in verse 17, it says, "Then Eli the priest answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel, may he grant you the petition which you have asked of him.'" In verse 17. Verse 18, "And she said, 'Let your maidservant find favor in your sight.' So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." Did you notice that change of expression? We went from as low as you can get, the pain and the bitterness of soul, and now after praying, she walks away, no longer sad. What made the difference? Hannah trusted that God heard and that God would answer. And all she had to go on was the word of the priest. But she chose to trust. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's a mom's superpower. Trusting God. Maybe. But there's more. If you follow me down to verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20 says, "So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked him from the Lord.' So Hannah finally gives birth after all those years. And the Bible says it was years of them going up and worshiping, and she'd have to go up with arms empty to the tabernacle. Now, after all those years of waiting, after all that ridicule, finally, she has a baby. And watch what Hannah does when little Samuel is old enough. Verse 27. She says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. After Samuel was old enough, after he was weaned, she took him to the tabernacle. She took him to Eli. And what does she do? She gives him to God. This precious child, this gift from God, she then gives back to God. Can you wrap your mind around that? She returned to God the gift that he gave her. And that, my friends, is a mom's superpower right there. The power and the ability to trust God enough to give back to him what he has given to us. Now, friends, not that every mother has this. Just look at Penina in our story. She didn't have that. And it's not that people who aren't mothers cannot also have this power to trust God. But it's that God has made moms with an amazing capacity to love. He's made ladies with that inside of them. And the challenge for moms and the challenge for all of us this morning is just this. Will we trust God even with our most prized possessions? Will we trust God even with our children? Will we have this superpower that God gave to Hannah to return to God everything that he's given to us? To trust even our children and their future to God. Now maybe you say, "Well, Pastor, this is a nice story and all, but does stuff like this really happen today? Come on." Well, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about a special mom that I know. And in all the years that I've been doing Mother's Day sermons, I've never preached about this lady before on Mother's Day. It was a young lady who years ago was pregnant. But she didn't feel that she could truly care for this baby the way the child needed at that time. So this lady prayed for God to help her find a family to adopt her precious child. So in the process, she got some picture albums from the adoption agency. And one of those albums that she looked at had the name Half Hill on the front. It was the first album that she looked at. After finishing it, she got on the phone and called her agent, and she said, "I found them. I want the Half Hills." The agent said, "Great, did you look at the other books?" "Nope, they're the ones." The agent said, "Well, I think you should probably look at the other books too." "I don't have to. They're the ones." "Well, I really think you might want to look at them and maybe sleep on it." And she said, "Okay, I'll look at them if you tell me to. But I prayed about it. And they're the ones." After months of waiting to be chosen by a birth mom, I remember hearing the news. I remember telling my mom, this is a picture of her when I told her that we had been chosen and that we were going to have another baby. And then it was an adventure actually getting down there to where this precious lady was and where the baby was going to be born. And we got there in time. And we stood in the hospital room. Jeanette and I were there when Johanna entered the world. And our special friend, our birth mom, held Johanna in her arms. And Jeanette and I stood right there next to the hospital bed. And we were exhausted and thrilled at the same time. In the previous 48 hours, we had slept about 4 hours total. So I don't know how we were still standing. I don't know how we were still going. But as our special friend held Johanna, she looked at us and she said, "Guys, here's your daughter." And then Jeanette spoke, and the words barely came out. And she said, "You carried her, because I couldn't." And our birth mom, this amazing young lady, said, "No, Mama, no, you don't. Don't you say that." She said, "No way. You carried this little girl. You carried her too. In your heart and in your prayers, you carried her all those years." And at this point, tears just flowed like rivers, even from the doctors and the nurses. She continued and said, "I will always love her, but she's your daughter. I prayed for you guys, and I know you will care for her, and I know you will love her." She even nicknamed us. She called us her Fantastic Four. But I know who had the superpower that day. And it wasn't me. It was the fantastic mom who loved Johanna so much and trusted God so much. God made moms special. Not that all moms are perfect. They are human. But of all the amazing qualities that moms have and of all the wonderful things that they do, the greatest thing that you can do, moms, is to trust Jesus, even with your children. See, that's why we remember Hannah. Though she quickly leaves this story and it becomes Samuel's story, we still remember her because she returned to God that wonderful son that he gave her. And what if she would have held on to that gift? What if she would have said, "No, he's mine. I'm not letting God have him"? How different the story would be in the Bible. But we remember her. She trusted God with her most prized possession. Will you do the same? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21 says that later God actually blessed her and gave her 5 more children. God does bless. Our birth mom had prayed for us, just as we had been praying for her. She prayed for God to provide a family for her precious child, and she trusted God to be in control. And mothers, that is the greatest superpower that you can have. Your greatest superpower is not to fly, although it does seem like the way you clean that you must fly around the room. It's not to read minds, but sometimes it does surely seem like you know what we're thinking. Your greatest superpower is not to endure great pain, even though the start of motherhood has a lot of pain involved. And whenever we hurt, you feel our pain. But the greatest superpower that a mom can have is to love her children like God loves them and to give her children back to God, to trust Jesus with their future. So I want to challenge our moms here today, or any of our moms who may be listening online. I actually want to challenge all of us here today, moms and more, because God is willing to put this superpower in you to love with all you got and to trust with all that you are. But you have to ask him. He won't force it upon you. You have to be willing to receive it. Ask Jesus to be the Lord in your life and then trust him with everything you got. As we close today, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads. And I'd like to pray together. And I'd like to lead out in this prayer as we close. And I would like to invite all of us, anyone who'd like to, if you'd like to repeat after me as I say this simple prayer, if you feel inclined to pray it too, I'd invite you to repeat after me, church family. Dear Jesus, thank you for the gift of mothers. Thank you for all of those who have a mother's heart. Thank you for trusting us with children. We ask you, Jesus, to come into our hearts, to give us all the superpower of love. We ask you, Almighty God, to give us the superpower of trusting you. Help us to trust all of our lives to you. Help us to trust our children to you. And we promise to allow you to work in our lives. And we promise to follow where you lead. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.